explore, be up to date with your news, with the design trends, and whatever discipline that you are applying for, study them well. Know the big names of that industry, their works, projects, trends.
Hi Nikita.
Hi Sanjay.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good. Good to connect with you, and I'm really excited for this episode.
Same here.
And so it's pretty much the first time that I am actually talking to somebody who is actually a student at NID in graphic design master's course. So there are a lot of things that I would like to ask you about. And to start with, you know, you have, like, initially when we were discussing, you mentioned that you were from an architecture background, right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty interesting switch. I think we can start off with this, that why did you choose from switch from architecture to graphic design? Usually whatever I've seen is most of the students or the candidates, they go for either interior design or furniture design or any other thing when they come from architecture.
So after completing my graduation in 2016, I started working as an architect, and having done or being a part of many reputed offices in Delhi, in different places of the country, basically, I had to go back to my hometown. And there when I worked, and I could realize that, you know, that was the point when I realized that maybe I should try something else, because professionally it was not working out for me. I have not had a very good experience, the kind of work culture and offices that I've had. So that really pushed me to, you know, think about other directions or other things which I can explore. And then I started freelancing. And while freelancing, I got certain projects of branding, logo design, related to graphic design, which really interested me. And I started looking upon it. And then finally, I, you know, thought of sitting for the entrance exam for NID. And luckily, I think I made it in my first attempt itself. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty good.
So, I mean, you're right to say that making it to NID in the first attempt, it's a difficult task, yes, especially when you're coming from a non-design background.
Yes. Right?
You're coming from engineering or architecture or any other field. It's a difficult task, yes. So how did you go about that process? How did you make it to NID in the first attempt?
To be honest, I had to quit my office because I was unable to manage my time along with the studies. And I had this one thing in my mind that whatever I'll be doing, it will be all self-study. I won't be joining any institute whatsoever. And it was good 10 months of rigorous practice, sketching, online study materials, hunting for blogs and YouTube channels, and so many things that I came across. And those resources, I know they were all from here and there, like almost all over the place. But then eventually one thing that mattered was my consistency, and which I think, like, if I think about it now, was something which really helped me, that it was my first attempt and it was all by myself. And because of the sincere, you know, timeline that I followed for myself, that really helped me to get through NID. Because NID papers are very unpredictable. I mean, you never know what comes when, or there is no pattern to it, like seed and all. So that time it was like, I also don't know what would, you know, what would be in favor of me, what should I prepare, what should not. So it was basically going through each and everything. So that's how, yeah.
So you talked about consistency here. So let's talk about consistency a little. So when you say consistency, do you mean, were you, like, what were the things that you were doing consistently?
Sketching was definitely one, because I like during my 11th and 12th, I had this applied arts as my optional subject from my CBSE. So I did have this thing of sketching and painting and all. That was the reason which intrigued me to get into architecture, because I was with the PCM background and applied arts. So it was like a good combination to get into architecture then. Had I known about NIT earlier, I think I would have applied then also for my bachelor's. But yeah, again, sooner or later it happened. NIT happened. So yeah, coming back to the consistency, I think it was all about my sincerity towards my everyday schedule and practicing like sketching at least 2 hours a day, and then reading, keeping myself up to date, reading the newspapers, articles, and yet again, so many YouTube videos and all.
So I want to go a little deeper into the sketching part of it, because that is something that is, because there are a lot of questions in NID regarding to sketching and how to sketch, right? So there's a lot of confusion around it. So what were you sketching when you said you were consistent with drawing or sketching?
So there is this blog that I followed. The name is Stuff You Look. So I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the owner's name, but then he's the one who has pretty much compiled everything, like, you know, right from seed to NID study materials as a blog. So going through the papers that he had already mentioned for about seed and everything. So when it came to sketching, I was doing the practice of, say, perspectives, 1 point, 2 point perspectives of say living areas and any object whatsoever. I mean, that's I think one of the things that, you know, during my interview also, the interviewers asked me to, you know, make a perspective of something right on the spot. So that was one thing. Second was I think light and shadow study. Which really gives the richness to the depth to your drawing. And so I was preparing for both NID and seed. And what I learned during my preparation was that NID gives, or rather, you know, looks for the concept, a stronger concept in your drawing. But in seed, they also look into the, you know, the quality of the sketching as well, not just the idea, but also the quality. So my focus was more, or rather my inclination was more towards NID. So I was developing my conceptual skills more rather than, you know, doing a very fine artistry sketches. So even, you know, if you get a question to, you know, make a storyboard on something, even if you use a stick figure, for an idea, it helps. I mean, as far as your idea or your concept is very strong.
Right.
So those things. So I really am thankful to the person who pulled the Stuff You Look blog. And that particular source really helped me.
Okay.
You can check that.
Cool. All right. Cool. And let's talk about the exam in itself. There's first round, there's second round. You have to present your portfolio. And there's an interview, right?
Yes.
So did you prepare anything in particular for the portfolio regarding graphic design? Or how did you do that?
Yes. So having spoken to certain people from NID while they were preparing for their entrances, they did say one thing that, you know, so there is an option that you can apply in multiple disciplines, and accordingly you have to present your portfolio. So like I applied for graphic design. If I had applied for any other discipline, I would be placing my projects in the priority wise sequence, like which one makes me look more interested in that particular field. So for instance, when I'm talking about graphic design, with which I have had absolutely no experience professionally, and all I had was my architecture projects. So during my freelancing, the 10 months, those projects were on a priority basis in my initial portfolio.
Okay.
And which could really show the skill sets. my interest, my color palette, and it's a very you know, very understated thing which one hardly realizes, is that when you're doing a portfolio, that's a graphic design exercise itself, because the kind of typography that you use, the kind of color palette, the kind of layouts, it's a publication design that you're doing unconsciously, how your everything, how your entire layout composition goes. So we were lucky enough to come to the campus to give our second round tests and interviews, which did not happen for the recent batches. So we carried our printed portfolios. So when the panel is going through it, they're able to judge you on the basis of all these things, your color palette, your choice of typeface, your composition, apart from your projects, like all these things also matter. So my projects were majorly from my freelance, the 10 months freelance that I had. And I think I also tried to do self-initiate projects, because sometimes it happens, you know, that for example, if I had applied for some discipline of which I do not have any project or I have not worked, so I can always go for a self-initiated project. So I create the brief, I work on it, I give the deliverables, and I put it in my portfolio, calling it as my self-initiated project, which shows your interest in that particular discipline whatsoever. So that's how we prioritize our projects. So for a particular discipline, you go through the brief of the discipline which is there on the website itself. Every discipline has it. So you go through it, you will get a fair idea of what an ID is looking for in a candidate, or what you will be exposed to as a student. And accordingly, you can build up your portfolio.
And I know it's been a long time for you since the interview experience, your own interview experience, but I'm sure there are some things that happen in the interview that, you know, you just take it along with you for the rest of your life. Was there anything that happened in the interview like that?
Honestly, like, even if it has been almost 2 years, but it's still so fresh in the head, because the whole experience is so, you know, one cannot forget their interviews at NID whatsoever. So one of the incidences which was there was that I created this as a self-initiated project. I was doing this comic strip in which had a girl and her pet. So the entire comic strip was, say, one or two frames only. So when this was presented to the jury, they went like, "Oh, you have this soft corner for pets." I was like, "Yes, I like dogs." And that's when they asked me that, "Okay, you are in this room, draw it in perspective." No, they did not mention a perspective. So they said that there is a table, there is this dog, and you have 2 minutes time, just sketch it out. So it was up to me what kind of style, what kind of, say, be it 2D drawing or 3D perspective oriented drawing or things like that, whatever I wanted to do. And within 2 minutes, I had to sketch that character sitting on a table, and that table is in that interview room.
Okay.
So that was something, you know, I was like, okay, I have to sketch on spot. So like the hands were literally shaking, because that was something I had not expected would come up. So that was one of the many experiences. But yeah, the entire interview experience was like, it's as fresh as it happened yesterday. So
it's very interesting. It pretty much happened with me also. I think they did ask me to draw something for the wall. I did some wall murals before going into the interview. So they asked me then and there, okay, you have to sketch something that depicts the mood of the room, and it has to be a three-dimensional thing. Said okay. That was something that took me aback also. Okay, am I supposed to do it now? What do I do now? So yeah, but eventually it's a very different experience, like you said.
Yeah,
something that you do not expect. So now let's talk about the discipline itself. So what is graphic design for an aspirant who is, you know, going for, let's say, somebody says that, okay, I like making logos. Somebody says, I like making packaging. Okay. Or somebody wants to get into advertising. So what is graphic design? What does it offer to a student at NID?
Okay, a little backstory there. During architecture, I did not realize that unconsciously I was rigorously doing graphic design exercises. And the realization happened only after coming here to understand certain things that, oh, I've studied this before. The composition, the color palettes and things like that, it's color wheel and all. So it was not very new thing, the basics part, because architecture is also a design field. And it also involves certain parameters that a design field demands. So I was kind of, you know, exposed to such things before during my architecture. Now, coming back to what graphic design is in NID, I think, see, if you just Google what is graphic design in general, you will get a lot of links, which, like, somewhere it would mention it's about branding, it's about logo design, it's about, you know, illustrations, or somebody would say it's also publication. Now graphic design also comes in UI, UX,
yeah,
because you eventually design your interface, which a graphic designer can do very well, and things like that. So now there is no specific thing to it, what I feel like. We on campus, almost batch of 100 people, 2019 batch, which is of 7 disciplines on campus in NID, we know that, you know, we have learned and taught our batchmates like a lot of things while just chilling with them and things like that. And there is a good overlap of things, like, for instance, like we get good at typography. We know how the typefaces work. We study the technicalities of it, how you're designing a typeface and things like that. And whereas choice of taking which typeface goes with which project is applicable to anybody from any discipline.
Right.
So, you know, the same thing is with the color palette, what kind of color palette you choose and things like that. So there is a lot of gray area. You cannot really, so it's like every discipline is merging within itself. We sometimes even need the film and video communication people to help us out with the audio editing. Like, we'll be doing stop motion animation and all in our next semester. So we'll be needing help of people from animation discipline, from film and video discipline. But the core of the graphic design at NID, to begin with, like it's just the beginning, would be, you would get a hang of image making. Image making is basically how your idea is being translated to a graphic or a visual thing. Then you have your typography happening. You have your design projects happening. So the kind of projects that you take with your mentors, how you do it, which direction you take, because it's not necessary that you end up giving, you know, core discipline deliverables. If you can explore in the field of UX, UI, designing web applications or things like that, we are very much open to do it. Like in our last design project itself, which was in this semester, people even went to, you know, augmented realities, which was very much entertained. So it's like, even though you will get the hang of the core disciplines, the topics, or rather the sections of the discipline, the core sections, but still now there is a lot of overlaps happening, a lot of things that we as designers, like, we are not just graphic designers, we are also treated as designers to know certain things. And now it's the industry demand as well. I mean, you cannot just end up with a graphic design degree saying that, you know, give me work. You have to have an edge to your portfolio. Somebody is good at comics, somebody is good at illustrations, publication. So that's how we like, at least my batch has grown into this space, finding our own, you know, USPs based on the way we work.
So this is very interesting. And I think by the end of the course of the master's degree, you have 19 students, right? In your, like, in total graphic design, man?
No, 19 happened last year. Like the otherwise we are a batch of 15
students would have different USPs, right? Everybody has a different USP, so it will be a really different kind of group that is coming out of NID. And I'm sure that there is definitely like finding your place in the industry again, right?
Yes.
That's very interesting. Yes. It's very interesting. Now, I would like to get a little talk in detail about the actual coursework that NID gives you, you know, so first semester, what is the thing that they teach you, or second semester? You can talk about that. That would be really great.
Okay. So when we are a batch of, say, MDes students, we are from varied backgrounds, like engineers, architects, and people from different backgrounds. So what happens is, to bring us all on the same level, or rather to have a design basics in place, in the beginning of the semester, we have common modules happening. So all 100 of us having common modules, like fundamentals of visual design, introduction to design, and things like that. So we are introduced with each discipline, what each discipline has to offer. We get a fair idea of what every discipline does. And when I talk about the fundamentals of visual design, we are doing the drawings, we are doing the colors, we are doing the compositions. So everything right from the scratch. We are studying the color palettes, making the color palettes, hands-on sketching, life sketching, nature studies, everything which is to deal with from scratch. Like, sometimes we wonder, okay, what are we doing here? We are literally sketching trees and people. But then when you do this rigorous, you know, module, when you are done with this module, it's all about, you know, even if you have learned it before, you are just recalling everything, and you are just applying your learnings whatsoever. Because there are people who have not even sketched in their life before. So for them, these things are very new. I mean, studying about the color palettes, the color wheel, understanding the complementary and, you know, the color schemes and all. So for some people, these things are very new. Like, there have been people from such non-design backgrounds. Initially, or rather say, I can say good 2.5 months, we are all trying to come on the same page, or rather just syncing with the place.
Okay.
Then comes the core discipline modules. So for instance, graphic design has things like typography, image making. So that's how we, you know, gradually get into, like, right from the beginning, we gradually get into our core disciplines thing. So for instance, if there is a film and video communication, so in the beginning, we are all together doing different exercises. And later on, they all get into, you know, film, the techniques of filmmaking and the sound study and things like that. So this is just an example. This is like different things for different disciplines, but we gradually step into our core discipline courses.
Okay.
But then again, that is not the end, because even in the next semester, we tend to have many common classes, common modules. For example, science and liberal arts, which talks about history and all. So we have the common modules happening, the open electives, which, you know, all the three disciplines get together, choosing their subjects and studying for good 2 weeks. So anybody from any campus, be it Paldi, Gandhinagar, or Bangalore, can, you know, travel and attend that course for 2 weeks. So it's a very rigorous learning exercise. We are not just bound to our classroom. And we personally feel, or rather, I would talk about myself. I personally feel that I have learned a lot from my batchmates, apart from the classroom structured modules, is what it is. So in the second semester, we start, like, our first design project happens. So it is like, you know, mini project that you are doing. And you start to get a hang of how, in a limited time period, you start a project from scratch, from the design brief, you work, you research on it, you come to the conceptual stage, you design the deliverables, explorations, and then give the final prototypes. So that is one of the major assignments that we do in the next semester, because now we have all settled well. Like during our first semester, we have all settled in our discipline thing. And then we have things like publication design. We do open electives in which, you know, literally anything and everything one can do based on whatever mentors are on board. So every mentor comes with their own project. There are even projects of cooking and all one can opt. So it's a very different thing to experience altogether. It's not just discipline oriented. There is much, much more, you know. I don't know how to put it all in the limited time, because it's so much to talk about.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. And seems like you pretty much have like different ways to explore new things and learn a lot of things. So this is all about learning and experiencing new things. So like, if I can put it this way, that in the first semester, there's a big unlearning curve that is happening, and then learning curve starts, right?
Yes. So you're expected as a candidate, when you're giving your interview, the interview panel expects you to, no matter how much experience you have had in your, you know, professionally or whatever, how much you are willing to unlearn things, how much you are willing to start from scratch. Because there are certain things, no, that if you know too much from the industry, there might be ego clashes, there might be, you know, a lot of things. So considering everything, that's how they, you know, take the students, because after interviewing, they get a fair idea of it. So unlearning happens. You have to unlearn, then you have to learn, and then slowly you dive into the core of the core discipline modules.
Very interesting. So now, when you have already finished, let's say you're in the last semester, almost in the last semester, you just finished your jury yesterday. So how are things looking like for you? Like, what is your perspective now?
Okay, so especially because of the lockdown, suddenly, because of this booming industry of UX UI, almost every candidate is expected to be knowing UX UI. And that is something which has been a bummer even during the on-campus placements. So there were a lot of opportunities that we missed upon, because a lot of demand in the industry is for UX UI, to be honest. And what I expect to land into is something like, okay, so I do not have any specific domain, but then at the same time, I've also realized my strengths, which would be in the field of packaging, branding, and illustrations. And but then I'm not restricting myself to not learning anything new, because eventually one has to be very flexible to get jobs in such pandemic situation.
Yes.
And research being my core strength, I think, which one, you know, eventually, like being in NID, one eventually realizes their core strengths. Your backgrounds reflect so much in every assignment that you do. And it's very evident. Everybody develops a style of their own. It's not necessary that you come with a style of your own. There is no pressure. The modules and the module exercises are such that you eventually, you know, end up doing it. And the kind of exposure that we get through our KMC, which is Knowledge Management Center, one of the best place on this campus, where you can just go and find whatever you want to read. It's a library. Okay. So yeah, it's known as KMC. So I think the kind of exposure that we get, we eventually develop, realize our strengths, we develop our skill sets. And based on it, then we can look into the industry for which field or domain we want to enter in. But at the same time, we have to be sensible and not stubborn. Ki, you know, if I don't get this, I won't right. want to do this or that, because this is not the time. Especially, I think this is how it's going to be for another 2 to 3 years. It's going to be very unstable. So you have to, you know, make peace with it. Yeah. You have to try to, you know, be flexible.
Right. Now, I'm aware of the exchange programs that NID has, right? So you have exchange semesters happening. How does that work?
So for the exchange semesters, we usually get we are notified through mails, and whoever is interested, they go through a certain procedure of filling up the application, sharing up their portfolios, and a proper recruitment kind of a thing is done, selecting the students whatsoever. The selection is not done only by NID, but then the institute that where you are applying, they'll go through your work and accordingly they respond. So that's how it is. And so for one entire semester which you'll be spending here at NID, you go there and do the same thing. And it's a personal choice, to be honest. It's not like you'll get much better exposure there, or like it's basically your choice. You have to know what is being delivered at NID if you stay, like what all things you'll learn versus what all things you'll learn there, and then take a call. Like personally, I was not up for it, but there are people who are up for it and they choose accordingly.
Okay. All right. So that is basically one semester abroad, right?
Yes. So BDES and MDES has different... BDES gets a lot of time on campus, and their timeline is quite stretched, and MDES is only for 2.5 years on campus, so we have everything in compact.
Yeah.
So I am not sure about when we go in this 2.5 years, like which period or which semester, but I think it happens in the second or third semester for MDES.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about what you would want to suggest to students or aspirants who are going to apply for an ID, like who are appearing this year or maybe planning to go for an ID or switching from different domains. Okay. So they have non-design background. So what would you like to
tell them? The first thing would be, don't be scared of switching. I did it. It worked for me. And even though I was lucky enough that it worked for me in the first go, it might not happen for all of us, but then that should not stop you. To the students who are preparing, I myself have interacted with some of them who approach indirectly or directly through Instagrams and things like that. And I did realize that they are still not clear about what they want to do. They are still trying to, like, they have filled the forms and they are all preparing, you know, as per whatever institute they have joined for preparations, but somewhere within they do not know what exactly they want to do. I mean, this is a master's. I'm talking particularly for the master's students, but then for BDES it's you know, you still have time to figure things out. Right. When you're applying for BDES, you are right out of your school. And basically, if you're interested in design, you can get here. So just an overview. I'm not sure if it would be helpful. But when the BDES students come on board, so they have this foundation year, one-year foundation. And the discipline allotment, which discipline would be allotted to which student, is based on their foundation year. So when they are building up their work, they have this good 1 year to understand their core strengths or which discipline would be best suited. And based on their performance in the foundation year, they are allotted the discipline. Whereas we as master's students, we have to know it through and through and then decide upon which discipline that we want to go and apply and prepare. So that is one thing that many people have not been clear about. And I try my best to get them connected with, you know, people from these disciplines who can give a fair idea of things. I have my juniors from my architecture college who approached me, and like we, and Dhruva is again doing a great job doing the same thing. So what I would like to suggest is be clear on what you want to do. And for being clear, I mean, it's not like, you know, if I know how to draw, I might be good at, like, you might have the skill sets, but where exactly do you want to land after your master's degree? Like, because this is a very deciding factor for you. You might be lost after your graduation or during your graduation, but MDes is the time when, you know, you define your strengths, you take a direction, kind of. And personally, I feel it's also fine if you're still lost like me, but it's okay. It's okay. I feel I take time for granted a lot, but it's okay. I'm fine with it. But I would suggest still that if you are very much career oriented, get to know about the disciplines, study the website well of an IT. Every discipline has given a gist about things. Reach out to people, talk to them, because it really helps, you know, to get a insight of it from different perspectives. So study it well, be clear on what you want to do, study the market trends, but at the same time study yourself as well, reflect upon yourself and know what you really want to do. It's very disheartening, you know. I was disheartened when I got to know that NID is never cracked by people in first attempt, and people usually have this misconception that applying in multiple disciplines gives a better probability to crack an IT, which is not the case. I applied only for one discipline.
Yeah.
And I sat for the exam for the first time and I was able to do it. So it's like these are all myths or whatever you call it. So don't fall in these traps. Be very clear and talk to people. And most importantly, when you are preparing, don't just stick to the learnings that a preparation institute is offering you.
Yeah.
Explore. Yeah. Be up to date with your news, with the design trends, and whatever discipline that you are applying for, study them well. Know the big names of that industry, their works, projects, trends, things like that. So, you know, be vigilant, observant, good enough. I mean, NID is not that difficult to crack until and unless you are very honest with yourself and with your whole attempt to give the exam.
That's very well put, and I like how you've been stressing the point that you have to be very clear on what you want to do, what the student wants to do. And something that I've also noticed that there are not a lot of students who are not clear about what they want to do, and there's a certain level of ambiguity that's always there. Like today they'll say, okay, I'm going for this domain. Tomorrow they'll say, okay, maybe that is also something that I can apply for, right? So their clarity of thought is very, very important. And thank you for stressing on that. And also the point where you said that you need to explore and be in touch with the industry, what is happening in the industry. And now they have domain-specific question papers where, you know, they apply and they have, if you apply for graphic design, they'll give you graphic design ka paper. So
it has been there, but it's just a section of it. You do not get entirely a graphic design paper. It's like a part of it. But whereas, like, so the paper has three sections to it. One is the general aptitude, general knowledge, and things like that. Second would be a little discipline specific, second section. And third would be your sketching and all. So sketching can be anything, right? From the perspective to your storyboarding. There are random lines, okay? And then you have to make sense out of those lines. Yes. So those exercises. So a lot of things are there. I mean, but yes, again, there is no set pattern to it.
Yeah, there's no pattern to it.
It is very unpredictable. People end up asking, you know, what is the crack? Tell me one crack, how to...
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot.
Yeah.
There is no crack.
That's so true, because all the other exams, because I'm an engineer myself, and all the other exams I've sat through are basically that. Like, you have a formula, and then you solve it, you have principles, all of that, but... Even in the NID brochure, they just say that, okay, they want to test the knowledge, skill, and behavior abilities of the student. That's it. That's what they want to test. Yeah. And it gives them a lot of avenues to test on.
Yeah.
And that's what becomes a little confusing for the student. Ki karna kya hai and all of those things.
To be honest, if you are up to date with the current affairs, if you have studied your general knowledge in school well, and like Manorama really helped me. There is this book which compiles, you know, the general knowledge stuff all together, and it is used for multiple entrance exams. Manorama book really helped me to get through this whole thing, because I was someone who would not read newspapers daily until I started preparing for NID. So that was something which helped me. Reading newspapers is a must. I mean, know everything. They can even ask you which cricketer won what. I mean, it's that random, and you have to know, because that's something which is happening all around. Your observation skills and everything really matters, and you would end up, you know, there would be questions you'd be like, "Arey, I just saw it yesterday, but I'm unable to recall it," because you were not observant enough to read it or grasp it, whatever it was there. Like there are certain bank logos which on the spot you won't even remember that which bank was it. Exactly. But at the same time, you see it every day when you're going home. So things like that. You have to be very observant of things and try to be considerate of things that are around you. Is what it is.
Yeah, you mentioned about Manorama. I think the pattern, they have reduced the number of general knowledge questions now. In the newest, like I have looked at the 2019 ka and 2020 ka paper that they have released. But yes, they do have some general knowledge things. Yeah. And staying up to date with and observant. First thing, like I remember there was one question. It was a very simple SBI logo, okay, which was very simple, and I everybody looks at it 1,000 times at least, but they just tweak some part of it, and then you don't realize it.
There are four options, and what they do is, jo uska close counter hai, the dead space, they just play, like in one has the square, one has the circle, one has the oval, and then on spot you're like, okay, which one do I go for? Everything looks correct at the same time. So it's there,
right?
And it comes with practice, you know, when you are preparing and you go through those things with the intention that you have to remember it, like not just, you know, passing by. That's what I think. A very punctual routine, if you have for your preparation, I think it's good to go. Nothing would stop you. All you have to do is be punctual and manage your time well.
Right. That was a lovely discussion, Nikita. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you so much for sharing a lot of things about preparation, graphic design, your journey. And I know you just finished your jury and you would want some time off. You also mentioned you're sitting in your studio and doing this interview. Thank you so much for taking our time and having this discussion with me.
That's okay. It was a pleasure talking to you, and good to, reminiscing all the memories right from the entrance exams and preparing for NID and all. it's good. But then, yeah, I also know that, you know, this is one hell of an experience you would never forget. Yeah, if you get through an ID, I think it's a life changing, at least for me, it has been. So
yes, for sure.
All the best to all the aspirants, if they are listening.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sanjay, for having me.